You've tuned in to Myth Behaving, a podcast where we get up close and personal with today's most imaginative authors. Every episode, we'll be sitting down with a new writer to discuss their magical world, futuristic visions, and how they bring their wildest ideas to the page. Helping me chronicle the wondrous today is the spiff-tastic Jen Nixon. Jen, how have the eddies and pools of the world treated you this week?
It's time change time.
We were grousing about that earlier.
But it's okay. I feel fine. I went to bed early. All right. We're good. How was your week?
It threw my youngest off. We got home last night. We went to UCR basketball, women's basketball game, and they won, which is always great. And we got home and my wife's like, yeah, you got to change the clock. So I changed the clocks and my son is like, it's 10:45 already.
Yep. Sorry,
my
kid.
Oldest is like, yeah, daylight savings. Like, what is this nonsense? Like, he was just off. I'm like, yeah, you and me both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to learn that reality early. So
me both, kid. Hopefully it'll change one of these days, but not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. So who do we have on the podcast this week?
I am so excited to introduce our guest today. N.A. Grotopos writes stories with snarky female leads discovering their found family and fighting against maniacal Bond villain types. Her characters typically inhabit fascinating and inviting locations that provide readers with an escape from the real world. N.A. studied folklore in college and after attaining an M.A. almost pursued a doctorate in the field, but was saved from that drudgery by her laziness in gathering letters of recommendation. After a stint in the publishing industry as an editor, she left to pursue her own desires of conquering the worlds, both real and imagined, one book at a time. Ladies and gentlemen, N.A. Grotopos. Nicole, how are you doing today?
Hi, you guys. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
We are pumped to have you. It is exciting.
Yeah, I'm stoked. Thanks for calling me N.A., but you can all call me Nicole. So
awesome.
Thank you.
You and I
met because you had just released an audiobook for one of your books on, and you were kind of marketing it on Instagram. Can you tell us more about that? Because it was kind of an exciting project.
Yeah, thank you. That is the first in a 3-book series. It's an arc within a shared universe that I did with about 9 or 10 other authors. They're all my friends and some of the best urban fantasy writers that I have the privilege of knowing. I loved working with them. So I finally got around to making audio for the first one, and hopefully it's going to lead into the second, third. It's called, should I tell you what it's called? It's called
absolutely.
Halo of Light.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's been a really fun project that I've loved. And the narrator, so on that, the audio, I did a duo. So it's a female narrator and a male narrator, and they're incredible. So I'm excited.
Nice.
It just launched, so.
That's very cool.
What else? I don't know. What else should I say about that? I'm still looking at doing the other two, but it just barely came out. So, but the book has been out since I think May of last year, but I just was slow getting the audio done.
And why did you go with two narrators?
Well, the books has a duo, and that's kind of the whole crux of the series, this shared universe that I did with these other authors. It's, duos, so kind of like Moonlighting. I don't know if you guys remember that show from the 80s.
Yeah.
But
oh yes,
yeah, we all I love that show. It was, you know, my introduction to Bruce Willis and just the kind of tension, the romantic tension of a male and female or any couple, right? That was back in the 80s, but now and so we all kind of took our ideas, and we made each of us have a duo, and they have to work together within the magic system in the series. And if they have this old access to this power called the puddle, it's like all the gods are dead and all of their powers kind of seeped into a pool, and they have access to it, but it's really, really overpowered. And so they have to be a duo. They have to draw on it with their partner. And if they are tempted to access it without their partner at the same time, then it will kill their partner. So there's kind of this, yeah, we all loved that kind of that tension of like, oh, if you're tempted to draw on it to save your partner, whoops, you'll kill your partner. So there's some fun tension within the story. They're kind of slow burn romance. They're urban fantasy, so they're not paranormal fantasy. So there's not paranormal, romance or whatever. So it's not all about the romance. It's about the adventure as love blooms, kind of like Han Solo and Leia. I was kind of thinking about that the other day, wondering if that's the first time in narrative that we really saw like a male and a female kind of team up and go on adventure and have a romance. I don't know. I mean, I don't know everything, but I love Han and Leia.
Who
They are
doesn't? I
definitely
mean,
a good slow burn, almost tropey enemies to lovers would be another way to describe it.
No, that's a good one.
Yeah,
Very,
definitely definitely one of my early ones too, because I'll be 50 this year. I don't know how old you are. If you would like to disclose that, you don't have to. But yeah, I'm definitely grew up in the 80s, so yeah, they were definitely a nice couple. Maybe not the
Yeah, you
best,
know.
but they were good.
No, yeah. But wouldn't it have been cool to see some like side stories of Han and Leia going on adventures alone, like not with Luke in the middle, and
Well, I think that's
not when
where
they were
the
finally old.
yeah, I think that's where the the extended universe books come in. If you I read a bunch of those because I couldn't get enough of I wanted more Star Wars. And from my point of view back in, whatever the 90s or something, we were told no more Star Wars. Like, this is
Right.
it. That's
Yeah,
all you get.
yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, those extended universe, you and those were always, Lucas always said, like, they're canon until I say they're not. So I always took them as not canon, but there's a couple of those where Luke and Leia get to run around. Luke and Leia,
Han and
Leia
Leia.
and Han, thank you, get to run around together. So, but yeah, no, that's awesome. I love it. I
Very
love
cool.
that
And
idea.
with this shared universe, so did the authors come up with all the rules? Did you do the world building together? Did a couple authors do all the world building for it? How did that actually work?
So my partner and I, Kimbra Swain, her and I kind of we her and I and another writer named Charlie, he write his name's Charlie Case, and he and I, the three of us, kind of we built the world and the rules within it,
Nice.
in just several meetings. And we Kimbra's really, really great at world building, and so is Charlie. And I think I am, but I think they were better than me. Like they're really amazing, and they're really, really good at like balancing out rules and making sure, there's like drawbacks to things. Like, for example, though, like if you can't draw on the power without killing your partner, if you both have to always draw on it together. It's kind of like if you've read the Jordan books, Robert Jordan, the series there with the one power. But it's in that one, there's obviously a different drawback for males drawing on that power. But so we built it together, and then when we brought on a team of our we handpicked some of our friends and the our colleagues whose writing we all respect. So pretty much every author that wrote in it is just incredible. And then they came up with their own characters, and we sort of fleshed the universe out together over the years. We all wrote our stuff, and so it was really amazing. It's drawn to a close, sort of, but some of us are still going to keep writing in that world. So I just finished book three, and it sort of ended, but a lot of the readers are, I mean, I tied it up intentionally, but my readers are like begging for further books with my two characters there, who are named Sin and Gi. Her name is Lucinda. She goes by Sin. He's an angel. He goes by His name is Giel as an angel, but he goes by Gi. And there were a lot of revelations and adventures and stuff. And as it ended, it kind of was like, well, sometimes you end wrapping up things, but then you also kind of sometimes there's revelations that could continue the storyline or a storyline.
That's great.
How many other novels are in this shared world?
I
A
think
lot.
there's
A
16
lot.
or 18. I don't know.
18,
Did you
18. Yeah, I'm
or
on it says eight,
Jen did her
yes, that's
research.
oh no, I'm on Amazon right now. It says 18 in the world right now.
Wow, nice.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Was there anything surprising to you from the other authors? Did anything like, whoa, like that's totally within our world, but I hadn't thought of that.
That is a good question, Rob. I mean, some of the writers are, well, they're all very incredible. They're all very creative, and some of, as we planned, I was, jealous. I was envious sometimes of, if that makes sense, of some of
Oh, yeah.
their concepts. One of them. So there's a one of the my colleagues in the series is his name's Ben, and he and I wrote a short story together with our so his is a vampire exorcist. So his was like I he's a, he came up with a really great theme or concept that I was really envious of. His is a priest who gets bit by a vampire. So he ends up becoming an exorcist of that. He doesn't want to be a vampire. He's a priest. He's like really young when he gets turned, and he in the 1800s, late 1800s, he's a cowboy and out in the West, but he gets bit, and so then he stabs himself to try to kill himself with the cross, a cross in from the altar in his church, but it doesn't kill him. He can't do it, so it just is stuck in his chest. And after that, he becomes an exorcist of demons. And he uses the cross in his chest. He calls it the eternal embrace or something like that. I can't remember, but he hugs him, the demons or the people with demons or the vampires,
Oh
other vampires,
man.
and he stabs him with the cross in his
That's
chest. And
great.
yeah, and I was like, that is a great concept. And his book is, his is called Unholy Deuce. I think it's a crude, it's a crude thing. I
And Rob, their names are
don't.
Amelia and Ichabod.
Oh, okay.
How nice is that?
Yeah,
That's
that
really
works.
cool.
I like that.
Love that.
R Yeah.
I do too. I loved it too. And so we wrote a little short story where my angel is a comforting angel. So he's in the line of Raphael. And so he can either heal people to right them, fix whatever, or help them just cross over into the next life. And that's how they meet, because he goes to help the vampire or the priest, and he can't fix him. He's touched by hell by then. And so we wrote this little story, and actually this is kind of a surprise for our readers that I haven't revealed this yet, but
Ooh, we
I
have an
did.
exclusive. Awesome.
Yeah, this is
Okay,
exclusive, you
exclusive.
guys.
If you're willing to share it,
Awesome.
exclusive.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Yeah, because I'm excited. Like I mean, I've been holding on to this for a couple of weeks, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait till I can tell the readers, but this will be fun. So the narrator of in my audiobook, who does my voice is the angel. He's so good. And he does a country accent, like a Western, whatever accent, really, really well. I was very impressed. And so I just on the side, I booked him to do the short story I did with Ben. And
Nice.
so he just sent me the files, and I need to go through them. But so that's the ex and I'm gonna just release it on YouTube, so it's not gonna go on Amazon.
Oh,
It'll
wow.
be free for our readers. And
Nice.
it's just an 8,000 or 7,000. It's 8,000. It's an 8,000 word short story, but it was really fun to write. And so that's coming out soon as an audiobook as well.
Awesome. Congrats. That's great.
Thanks. Yeah, I can't wait for you. I don't know if you guys will listen to him, but I'm like so stoked.
Oh yeah, I'll listen.
Yeah, we'll listen.
Absolutely, why not?
Free audiobook, you guys.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's even
absolutely.
like I love to support other authors. So sometimes it's like, oh, you've got a free? Can't I buy it somehow?
Yeah, take
But
my
yeah, I'll do
money.
the
Take
free.
it.
I'll do free. Yeah.
That's
I agree.
great.
I love supporting them. And that was one of the best parts about working on this shared universe thing, was just the chance to kind of work together, because writing is lonely. I don't know if you guys ever feel that way. It's not lonely in a bad way. It's an amazing way, but it's also like sometimes you're just like so isolated. So
Absolutely.
having the chance to collaborate sometimes is just edifying for me, and sharing and supporting other people. I love that.
That's great.
Yeah, and
And
I really like when other authors read my stuff and then come back and want to talk to me about it because, like, I like when other people want to talk to you about it too. But writers have that unique perspective and, like, hey, this thing here, I think I caught this. Yeah, you did. Good job. That's awesome. Let's go. Yeah.
I'm the opposite. I don't want anybody to tell me anything. No, I'm just
Jen.
kidding.
You're like, I
That's
mean,
not.
sometimes
I'm just.
authors are, oh, it kind of makes me nervous sometimes when other authors
Yeah.
might pick up my stuff. I'm like, oh no, what are they going to
Yeah.
see that I missed or something, you know?
And sometimes authors feel like they have to tear everybody else down. And I'm like, yeah, you're not, we're not going to be friends. We're not going to be friends. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Did all that Mean Girl stuff in high school. I don't want to do that. I
Right.
don't want to do that
Yeah.
in real life. It's
Yeah.
bad enough out here.
Or they'll come back and they'll edit your stuff. I don't know if you wanted this edit. It's published, so no, that doesn't do me any good. Pointing out these little
I
failures, I'm fine. This episode of Myth Behaving is brought to you by the Bath Bomb Diva, producing fine, handcrafted bath bombs and shower steamers. Scents ranging from fruits to floral to musks to weird French names, the Diva offers a wide selection for maximum olfactory goodness. Bath bombs are offered with and without prizes inside and made using water-soluble dyes for no messy residue. In honor of our second year with the Diva Lab is sending me a super secret new product to try. Because of how all these great products make me smell, in a good way, I can't wait to try this one out and report back. You can try all the Diva's creations at www.bathbombdiva.com. And thanks again to Bath Bomb Diva for sponsoring the show.
No, I get it. Like I think earlier in my, I remember being, well, 'cause I was an editor. And so back forever ago when Goodreads was new, I was like, I got on
Goodreads.
Goodreads and I was like, yeah, I'm so like, I'm wielding all my review chops. And I mean, I remember back then I sometimes wasn't a jerk, about authors' published works, you know, and now I look back and I'm like, man, you know, like it's, I kind of, at least I evolved. I'm glad I evolved because eventually I realized that it just doesn't help anyone, like honestly.
No, I think we all, well, maybe not all of us, but I know I started there as well. Like, oh, I'm a writer, and if you're not writing like 1,000%, you know, and you're just not awesome, then why even bother publishing it? I could be a real jerk about stuff too. Yeah. No, but I definitely am a totally different mindset now. Like, oh, this is, you did some really great work here. Like, yeah, there's always room for growth, but your effort here is fantastic and it's definitely worth seeing. Yeah. No, I'm in a different
Yes.
mindset now.
Yeah, I love that. It's good to evolve, you know, and kind of realize and mature. And Jen was like the high school stuff. It's really is. It is a very young, immature mindset, I think, to still to be in that space because, you know, I don't know. There's not, I mean, you're not really helping anyone because what you're doing is deterring people from reading it. If you go and leave a negative review, you deter someone and then they don't get the chance to experience it for themselves because they might
Yeah,
not feel that way.
and I think that that's changed because sometimes the negative reviews make people buy books, believe it or not, because
Oh, sure.
it'll be something like, oh, this book is too this or this book is too that, you know, in a condescending way. Doesn't matter what it is, and somebody's like, oh, it's definitely why I'm gonna buy it now. But you don't want your book to say, well, this book was riddled with grammatical errors and the plot was missing. That's what you don't want to see in a negative review. That's
No.
like, oh God, kill
Exactly.
me now. Kill me now.
But this one had another strong female protagonist, and I'm like,
She was a Mary
and?
Sue.
And? Oh my gosh, you
Oh my
and
gosh. The Mary Sue thing. Does anyone say that anymore? Because I
please,
remember like when.
yes. Yes. So please go off on that. You that there is your They
stand.
called my Tiva a Mary Sue. I'm like, no.
Yep, I've gotten that as well. Yep.
I mean, that did deter, like in 2010, I remember 20, 2009, I don't know, back forever ago, I was like, oh, am I writing Mary Sue's? And so then I would try to not write something that had an aspect of me in it. And then I'm like, well, that doesn't even work because I can only
No.
write what I know. So there's going to be facets of me that show up in all the characters,
Well, and
right?
the term is so
Even,
misused
yes.
anyhow. Now it's like any female character you don't like, right? Like,
Yes.
So Rey in Star Wars was labeled a Mary Sue, and she actually parallels almost perfectly Luke from Star Wars. So if you're, which is fine, like if you're going to call Rey a Mary Sue, then you need to call Luke a
Luke.
Gary Stew, right? And that's fine. But if you're
Exactly.
not doing that, then obviously you're biased one way or the other.
Exactly.
And that's where I draw the line. Like, okay, great. If you're going to, you know, if you're going to critique Rey here, then critique Luke as well. But if you're like, no, Luke was amazing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Luke was a farm boy who suddenly
Yeah,
found the
exactly.
power within himself to do awesome things. Like, no, everybody has that fantasy. So,
Right. And I have a character.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I have a character who was born into like a royal guardianship and, you know, went to school her whole life, trained her whole life, became lost everybody. And then I'm like, how is she a Mary Sue if she literally trained her
She
whole
literally
life?
trained,
That's
then
the
she
literally
didn't,
the
right,
opposite of a
the
Mary
wrong
Sue.
way. Yeah.
I'm like, don't
Yeah.
call my character a Mary Sue. You obviously didn't read the first book.
It's a female character you didn't like.
Exactly.
Just call it the way it is you really feel.
I mean, that whole premise is so funny because I think like I have a series, it's Etherpunk. It's under my Nicole Rodopas name. And there's not a steampunk in space. So I call it Etherpunk, but there's
Yeah.
not Etherpunk category on Amazon.
Yeah.
But people will pick it up and get annoyed that it's not, that they're like, oh, and there's like the technology's weird. It doesn't really match. And I'm like, and then they'll also criticize the fact that it's so unrealistic.
Oh, well, welcome to
So,
fiction.
like, the unrealistic part cracks me up. They're like, I just couldn't buy into the story. And it's like, well, what part? Because, you know, is it because it's in space in the future? Like, did you buy into Star Wars? Did you buy into Star
Right,
Trek? I mean,
right. Yeah.
you, and it's typically like just a disgruntled reader that's annoyed about something else. They just don't really know what they're annoyed about. And it might just be
Right.
that we don't gel or something, and that's fine. I just,
Right, exactly.
it's just,
Not everything, not what I write is for everybody.
right.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, so they're and they also will they'll there will also be that, like what you're saying, Rob, about where it's kind of like there's a bias, pro Luke bias, and a an ant the, and then they're not pro, they don't want a woman hero. They don't want, what they really still want is just another Luke, but they didn't want it to be a female
Version of Luke.
version of Luke,
Right,
you know.
right.
And so then there's the criticism. And it's very thinly veiled, and you can kind of see it. And it only takes us really, it doesn't take a lot of insight to kind of grasp that's what's happening. But because I did love Luke, and I loved Rey. I thought Rey was great. There was I don't really know. Somebody was criticizing Rey's journey as not being a hero's journey recently, and I didn't have time to analyze it myself, but I was like, okay, well, fine. I don't know. The new ones were great, I thought, because I feel like they kind of returned to the, or kind of more of that farm boy, that kind of lost orphan child who is
Yeah.
destined for greatness. You
Right.
know, they kind of returned to that. And I thought, and that was J.J. Abrams, I think, right? And so he
Yeah.
kind of revitalized some things that
Yeah.
were lost in the series that came out in the 2000s with
Yeah, the
whatever, I can't even.
prequels,
Hey, I love the prequels.
I know.
We will
I
not
think it's,
do any bashing of
we
the
will not go down that road today.
Two of my favorite characters are Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, so
But sand is gritty and I
it
don't
gets
like it.
everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It gets
Don't like it.
everywhere.
I don't like
Anyway, he's a whiny. He was a whiny bitch. Sorry.
it.
But then again, Luke was a whiny bitch too, so no
Wow, just you just went there. You
transmutation.
just top turnbuckle and you just dropped the atomic elbow.
Yeah, I know.
Nicole, where what are your biggest influences for reading and writing and watching?
Oh, good. I don't know. Good question. I don't know. I think, like, just off the top of my head, I would say Orson Scott Card was always a major influence for me. I don't think I write like I don't write books like him or anything, but his simple narrative style I really like. I think it's very accessible, and yeah, he's not really into the flowery language, although I love to do that sometimes. And I think, like, when I look at what how Orson Scott Card writes, and then I look at like Terry Pratchett, for example, Terry Pratchett is very similar in that he's not overly prosaic or whatever. He doesn't get really elaborate, but he's still got this incredible capacity to just throw out these amazing lines. I don't know how he does it, and he makes it look effortless. I don't think I do that, but I would say Orson Scott Card has been a big influence. I read a lot of his stuff, and then Robert Jordan, I think, in terms of like, I mean, I don't really know how he like. I don't know if you could look at my stuff and go, "There's some similarities," or I see how she was influenced by that. But and I think like Star Trek and Star Wars.
Yes.
Us.
Yes.
It's good that you mentioned Star Trek first.
Yes.
Because
Thank you.
I mean,
Trekkie all the way.
yeah. Does everyone always say Star Wars? Does everyone like Star Wars?
No, but and I
No.
love Star Wars too, but
Right.
like when you boil it down, like even my family, I don't
Trek,
even
yeah.
remember what came up. We had a conversation the other day and my sons just jumped all over something and they're like, "He likes Star Trek, of course." Like, oh, okay, well, I guess I exude the Trekker then, which is fine with
Well,
me. Like, I definitely love Star Wars, but Star Trek is my jam, so.
Star Trek is my jam too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
same here. Like the Next Generation is just, I was very on board with that. Watched it all, and I did see that you did a just a post, Rob, on Instagram with your son doing the full
Oh,
thing
we
reading, you know.
so my boys won't they won't watch any, like I'll make them watch some Trek from time to time, but we get into it through Lower Decks and they
Ah,
love Lower
nice.
Decks. And so
Nice.
there was a we've just started rewatching Lower Decks because they'll sit
You
with me and
don't
watch
get
it.
half the jokes. Of
I
course,
know,
you have
that's
to
what
go
I
back
tell
and
them.
watch
That's what I
it.
tell them all the time. I'm
Like,
like, we need to start with TOS and then we can go from there. But the Mariner at the beginning was throwing the Vulcan sign, sarcastically and like, "Live long and prosper, yo." And my boys just picked up on that. So whenever they're like trying to cheese me off, they'll throw Vulcan signs at me. And I'm like, oh, this is too good. You don't even know how proud I am right here. So
Did you
my
do
little.
Prodigy? Did you watch Prodigy with them? It's on Netflix now. Okay,
Yes,
yeah.
we watch Prodigy. Yeah. And my
Love
youngest liked
Prodigy.
that, but my oldest is not into any, like he kills me. I love that kid, but man,
Not
he
into
is not
animation?
as nerd. He loves anime, but
Animation? I just love
not Trek,
animation.
not,
I
yeah,
love
me too. So
animation all over. Just give me animation.
I haven't watched the Lower Decks. You're saying that's an animation? Like,
Oh,
I'm so out of it, by the
yes.
way. Like,
Oh,
I don't know
Nicole.
what's going on.
Yes, you will love it. If you're TNG, if you and did you watch all the others? Like, did you watch Voyager and DS9 and everything?
I did watch DS9. Voyager came out when I was in college and didn't have a TV, I think. So I was in college like in 96, 96 to whenever. And so I didn't see a lot of TV. And so I didn't see Voyager, but I was way into DS9 and the original, also
Of
TNG.
course.
But I'll go ahead.
But that's plenty. That's plenty. If you're that far along, then you should watch Lower Decks. And it's just fantastic. And it's fantastic on its own because you can just watch it on its own. But they do throw out a ton of Easter eggs
Right, but
all
I
over
will
the place.
stipulate you have to give it a chance because I am like hardcore Starfleet through and through, and the first episode of Lower Decks, I'm like, I can't watch it. These kids don't even they're not Starfleet. They're what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, they're
And
learning to be Starfleet.
one of my other friends was like, just give it a couple more episodes, and I'm like, all right. And then all the jokes started, and then all the Easter eggs. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is good. I get it. I get it
And then
now.
they just
Okay.
did that crossover
Oh my
with
God,
Strange New Worlds,
I've watched it like four
which was,
times already.
I know, which like I that one's so delicious.
It
So
really is.
yeah, Jen and I can go
Delicious. I
off.
love
You
that.
can't get us going on track, but yeah, so.
I know, I love it. I mean, I think like, well, so I have a series that I did just barely under my Nicole Grotepass name. The third book is still getting, I just need to finish the changes and send it to the publisher, but it's got mushrooms as the faster than light travel mechanism in it.
Oh, look at
Ooh.
you. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, the pilots ingest them, but I didn't. So I came up with the concept late 2019, early 2020, and I guess the new Star Trek has mycelium in it, and my
Yeah,
readers were the
Discovery.
ones that informed me. Yeah, they're like, Nicole, people are going to compare this, and I was like, well, I didn't even know Star Trek was getting esoteric. and metaphysical.
And they like, certainly what's wrong did.
With, what's wrong with dilithium crystals? They were fine. Like, why didn't we go off the rails?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I took a character, I played a Star Trek role-playing game in the late 2000s, and I used this character and it created a whole universe around it. So basically, I ripped off Star Trek and made a whole series about it. So don't worry about it. Just go with it. And don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry.
I love that.
It is different, though. To be fair, what Discovery did was different than what you're doing, Nicole. So you are safe in my mind. But
absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
It's not. They don't ingest the mushrooms. It's definitely a different kind of drive. But yeah.
Well, and I'm like, I still haven't even seen Dune or read it. I have the book. I bought it like 20 years ago.
Don't read
Dune,
the book.
And I'm like. Don't read Dune.
No. Oh my gosh! Don't get me started either on the book. That's
the book
just...
is really. I've literally tried to read the book 5 times, and I just can't. But the
Jen,
story,
you gotta get through it, and then we'll talk about it. But the story reads like Frank Herbert had a really good idea, which he did, but had no idea how to actually write, and so he just kind of presented you with a very dry outline. Of story
and
characters.
It's like that 700 pages.
It's
How
700 pages
outline?
Of dry outline. That's why it's called Dune.
Oh,
I didn't even know that part. That makes
no,
me
that's
definitely
my interpretation.
Not want to watch.
That's my interpretation. There are three right now. So there's the 1982 or whatever with Kyle MacLachlan, and that one is
which I saw like a
delicious.
Tiny bit in the 80s.
Yeah,
I love
delicious.
That you call it delicious. I love using delicious to know something you like. I do that all the time. I'm like, this is delicious. You guys
I really wish
that
they
yet?
Would put. I wish they would put the sci-fi version out again because the sci-fi miniseries
that's the
they
sci-fi
did
one yep
that's yeah this that one is good because they
that's
did the
good
first two books and then
yep.
they did
Dune and Dune Messiah
and they did children so they did like
then
the first
Children
three
of
books or
Dune
four
yep.
books yeah
it's like it's got to be I'm not a Dune head so I can't tell you if it's three or four but it they got into it pretty good and that was pretty fun and then this version is just it's just so gorgeous to watch like
it really
oh
is.
Did you like it so you guys liked it the
I
movie.
Loved it I haven't
okay.
seen the second one but I saw the first one and loved it yes
Yeah,
I haven't seen any of them, and I only saw tiny clips of the one from with Kyle MacLachlan and Sting
yeah,
as a
crazy.
child in the 80s on like Saturday morning TV when it was just on reruns. And I was like, it scared me. It scared me. I was like, those suits are disgusting.
Oh my gosh, it's such a mess! Like that, it's
I didn't, so, I didn't
so
see
80s.
The whole thing. I was like, this is so. Too scary for my tiny mind. I'm afraid of aliens. I write about aliens. I write about friendly
right.
aliens.
Right.
Friendly
because I like aliens. I like the whole like one wanting to approach what makes us human from the perspective of a non-human, which was why Data and Worf were some of my favorite Star Trek characters.
You definitely
always,
have.
Because...
Then you definitely have to watch Voyager for Seven of Nine. If you love Data, you have to watch Voyager. There you go.
Was
I
he
concur.
In Voyager?
No,
but no,
but
there's
Seven
a character
of Nine
called
is.
Seven of Nine, and she's an ex-Borg, and you will love her.
You do have to.
Oh, okay.
So you have to approach it also when you watch Voyager, especially when they introduce Seven of Nine. You have to approach it from the mindset of where they were at that point, where they felt that they had to have some kind of sex appeal at this time. They went through this really weird phase in Star Trek. They did the same thing in Enterprise. Like suddenly they're like, oh, we gotta sex this thing up. And you're like, what is going on?
I never felt that way as a female watcher.
You watch
okay,
when they
okay.
introduce Seven. Go back and watch when they introduce Seven.
I
not
did.
As
okay,
not
the
as the
outfit,
Borg.
Maybe.
The very they have to they did a bunch of hand waving on, and this is why her outfit looks like this. The doctor's like blah 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 blah.
Right, because
I'm like,
the,
are you kidding me? You guys are full of it. You're trying to sex up Star Trek. Like,
I know.
To be
that's
fair,
what
she
Deanna
looks good
said.
In it.
She does look good, and I do not want to put Jerry
She's
Ryan down. And she does an amazing job in the role, and so long as you just approach it with that mindset, and then they get really into the character, and it's great. Like Seven of Nine's a fantastic character, and then you carry that forward into Picard, and
she's my
awesome. And yeah, obviously Jen and I can go on and on.
I love it. It's so it's like it's the best. Actually, you guys are such nerds that in high school, I had Star Trek action figures, and
same.
I wish I don't know.
I still have mine. I went to high school with a Star Trek lunchbox. Yes, I did.
I love it. We're kindred spirits.
We
I
are.
no one knew
And
this about me in high school, though. I was such a nerd that I was a closet
well,
nerd,
good for you, because those of us who people
and
knew, yeah, we got beat up,
right,
so
but I found all these like-minded people online. This
right.
and half of them, became my friends, and some of them became my readers, and some of them became fellow authors. And we kind of all just grew up together doing this nerdy stuff and putting it into our books.
Well, I love it that you wrote an entire like fan fiction kind of thing around
Yeah, I was
your
Twilight
I
before
didn't
she
even know.
Twilighted Twilight.
I didn't even know people did that. And I would make up stories with the Star Trek action figures, obviously, when I was playing with them. Don't tell anyone I played with them, but like and you know what sucks though is I
Late.
can't find them. I think I lost them in a move. But I had
Oh,
like Picard and I had Worf and but that's what Deanna Troi was the sex appeal. And I always like to get into little debates about what a useless character she was because she would tell you things that were obvious on screen. Like it was never like, oh, revelation, these guys are mad at us and Deanna just broke the news. It was always like they're threatening to shoot the ship. And
Right.
Deanna's
These,
going, I'm sensing hostility, Captain. He's
there's a
like, yeah, no
little bit of
doubt.
aggression. No kidding. I'm sensing confusion. No, really. Yeah, okay, great.
Like,
Sounds
oh my
great.
gosh.
Oh.
But I love
Well, Nicole, I hate to say it. We have loved having you on, but we are running out of time. So we're going to end with one more question, but we will definitely have to have you back if you'll join us again. But
I would
yeah,
love
so
to.
let's get one more question. If I'm going to Jen, I'm just going to go for the dinner question.
Go for it.
All right. So Nicole, if you had to have dinner with one of your characters, which one would it be and why?
Dang, that's so hard. I wish you'd given me
Oh, well,
like a
you can
question
punt.
sheet.
You know what? You can
No.
punt. You
It's
can
got
leave
to
us
be on the
hanging.
spot.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. I mean, I love all of them so much,
Of course.
but I think I would pick the. Dang it, I can't even. Like, it would probably be a side character, but I'm going to pick a main
You can have a side
character.
character. It could be side.
I
Side
just can't
characters can be
decide
awesome.
which one because all of my side characters are so incredible. They're the ones that everyone's always like, I wish this character had their own
Own
book.
story. Yeah.
So, but I love my character in the Across the Stars series, Zach. He's kind of a cowboy, but he's a gentleman rogue. He's a smuggler, but not a smuggler. He's a bootlegger. But he's like kind of like I kind of get the vibe of like Han Solo or like Mal from
Malcolm
Firefly.
Reynolds, I
So
was going to say. Yep.
yes, I
Yeah,
love. I think
nice.
he would be fun to. He's kind of a rogue,
That's a
That's who
great
I would have
character to
dinner
go to dinner
with.
with. Would you ever end up at dinner? You don't end up at dinner. Like something happens, you know it's going to happen.
Yeah, we would immediately be chased or
Right.
something. There would be
Right.
some kind of situation we had to get out of a pickle.
Awesome. Nicole, you have been so wonderful. Like I said, we've got to have you back. So,
I would love it. You guys are
excellent.
fun to hang out with.
Thank you.
Love
You
it.
We
too.
are fun to hang out with.
We are.
This
Yeah,
goes
I
out to
loved
my
it. I dug
entire high school class of 1990. I am fun to hang out with.
Same here. Exactly. See it? Suck it.
Suck it. That's right.
Yeah.
All
We're
those of you
nerds
who
are cool
wrote Stay
now.
Cool, Rob, well, I know you wrote it ironically, but I got good news.
Exactly.
Well,
Yes, I loved it. Thank you.
well, Jen, we've done it again.
Absolutely, another great one in the bucket.
In the bucket. What do we close out with here?
I would say everybody have a great week. Stay safe. Read something good or write something fun.
And watch Lower Decks.
Oh, yeah, definitely watch Lower Decks. Bye, everyone.
Bye.